Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Well, we are those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Married at First Sight Recap Season 17, Denver, Colorado. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and leave a review.
Indeed. You know, here we are on a Sunday because while we were back on our regular Thursdays, the problem was last Thursday was what? You know, take something and keep it for yourself day. So, yeah. And then pretend like you're doing it thankfully. So that's what we were doing with all of our families. And therefore, here we are on a Sunday. But how was your Thanksgiving?
You know, it was good. I hosted and catered. And so I picked up the highlights. Of my, I got a roasted turkey from this restaurant called Hoover's, H-O-O-V-E-R-S. Soul food cooking in Austin's delicious. So I get the turkey. And Wednesday night, I decided to, let me just put in some chicken stock. So looking at the reheating instructions, it said to use 2 cups of water. I'm like, I'm going to do some chicken stock. And then I threw a little Tony C's in there. But the turkey was kind of already kind of in half, so I opened it up and I called it, I Paula Deaned it. I shoved a stick of butter there in the breasts, put some more seasoning. I didn't call
it. Oh, thought you had black people cook it.
I didn't call it the N-word, but I Paula Deaned it. I just did a big old stick of butter in there. And then once I heated that up the next day, man, it was delicious. Just meat just danced off the bone, but it was good. Family was here. It's great to have family come in the house, but it's also great to have them leave the house and you get the house back to yourself. So it was good for me. What about you?
Same thing, man. We had, I hosted it this year. My wife and my daughter and I, we hosted it this year. So we had family and we had, you know, my mom came in from out of town, my sister, her son, so my nephew, which is the first time him and my daughter actually met since the wedding. Because, you know, they were really small at the wedding. And at this time, it was great to see them playing together. My brother and my youngest brother and his wife came in, and my other brother, he was there as well. And then, of course, Thanksgiving Day, my wife's family came over. So we had a big, full house. And, yeah, it was great, man. It was always good. And like I told everybody, hey, make sure you leave with at least one plate. If you don't, I'm going to have my wife call you. And so everybody grabbed at least one plate real quick.
Yeah.
They were like, we don't want that phone call.
No one listened. I had enough food for about 12 to 15 people and only had eight. So wow. I have a ton of leftovers in my refrigerator and I hate turkey. Like Thanksgiving Day, I'm all about it. But after that, I'm like, ugh, but this turkey, I've already had a couple leftovers.
See, that's why you got to make that. You have to make that statement. Everybody leave with at least one plate. You have to make that or you're stuck with all that food. While they're off eating everything else, you're stuck with this food that's about to go bad. So you have to make that announcement. I made it early before the first person started walking up. Hey, what you got in that plate there? Put some more. Take it with you.
I thought about riding it after, but then at some point I was just like, look, I just can't wait till everybody leaves. Right. So whether you take some with you or not, I just want my house back to myself.
You know, I've got a note for you. GTFOH. Hey, Debbie says, y'all cutting into the game again. Well, we're not Eagles fans, so we don't care.
Correct.
And matter of fact, when the Eagles get an ass whooping next week, you'll be okay.
You saw my game today. I'm surprised I'm still wearing this, but I'm just like, it is what it is. To be a Saints fan is hard.
Hey, Caltum Ibrahim says, finally made it to live, driving to Akron, Ohio. Terrell, better have a dark liquor today. What do you have in that gold cup?
I have some dark liquor.
Hey, see, there we go.
Act like you know me.
I've got the extreme clear liquor here today. Mother Nature champagne, water.
Well, you need that water because as somebody already pointed out, you sound like you got a cold.
Yeah, had that allergy shit cap start up here, and then it just, once it drains into my chest, it's over, man. It's over once that happens. So, all right, let's get into this for this week, man, because there's a whole lot here. Like Nikki B says, anyone else confused by Lauren? She talks too damn much. It's funny you should say that, because that's exactly where we are starting this week with Lauren and Orion, right? Mm-hmm. Because here's what we find out. Lauren slept away from Orion.
Mm-hmm.
And then She snuck back into bed about 5 a.m. so he wouldn't wake up with her not being there. Doesn't that feel a little deceitful to you, though?
No.
Why?
I get what she was trying to do. What I'm curious
about is... Get your ass in this damn bed. Or stay. Well, pick one. Pick one. Pick one.
Well, what I'm curious about is what was said, maybe that was edited out. Mm-hmm. Because it sounds like that conversation, but we got a snippet. And of course, that allowed a lot of people to judge one way or the other. Right. And there's a lot of opinions from last week's episode. But mm-hmm. I'm just wondering what else was said. But it seemed like they were starting to kind of maybe get it back together.
I've never liked that whole you sleep on the couch because you're upset thing. Right. You sleep on the couch because you made me upset. I'm sleeping in the bed. We could build a pillow wall between us if we want to. If you're that upset, we can build a pillow wall, but we go in the bed in the same bed, right? But she didn't. She decided to sleep somewhere else because she was upset, because he was upset. Because then we found out with the after party, he needed 2 hours to himself. Well, to me, it's deceitful to stay out of the bed and then come back in 5 a.m. so it feels like you've been there all night. No. If that's the case, be cooking some bacon and or go get some room service and come back and just be sitting in the living room. Let me wake up and find you that way too, then, if you're going to stay out. That's the only problem I have.
Well, I think that's just because you're petty. And so little stuff like that bothers you.
I am petty.
You are petty. So little stuff like that bothers you. I'm like, hey, you mad? You want to go sleep on the couch? Come back in later? Cool. Doesn't matter to me. Just don't wake me up when you do it. But who cares?
Well, apparently they're not. Well, no, I can't say that because we're going to find out how petty Orion is too. But, you know, the next morning they go off the... They go off the resort and get away from some alone time. What?
Nothing.
I like how Lauren, though, finally put herself in Orion's shoes. And this is the one thing, because this is what we kind of talked about last time. You and I disagreed on this, but I feel like she finally understood why he was upset, right? She says, when a minority has to give a history lesson, and this is me paraphrasing what she said, it's like adding insult to injury, right?
Yeah.
And she's right, because that's what he had to give her a history lesson into what this was. And then she just thought about it, like, how many times have I had to explain to the native Coloradans what it means to be black?
Yeah.
And I think that's what kind of set in for her when she stayed out of bed all night.
I think she acknowledged the fact that she offended him. She understood it and she owned it. Mm-hmm. But here's my issue with these two.
Oh, boy.
I think it's great that they're having some of these real conversations, but I wonder if they are also able to compromise or agree to disagree, because there's going to be some things about Lauren's culture that Orion's like, yeah, I'm not down with that. Mm-hmm. And if, when we have our kid, they're not going to do that, and vice versa. So at what point do you say, okay, we can agree to disagree and still love each other, but just, hey, that's your thing. This is my thing. I feel like they're trying to make sure that we embrace everything about each other. And you don't have to, in my opinion. I don't think you have to love everything about your partner's background and heritage. You just got to love your partner. And just know that all these things come with it. But it doesn't mean that you have to be a part of it if that's not who you are. It makes sense. So I just wonder, can they do that? Because right now I feel like they're trying to make sure that we agree and align on everything. And I'm like, is that really possible?
It's not. And you don't need to. It's not about walking in unison doesn't mean that there's a crack on your side and you gotta step in that too so that we keep in step. No. Sometimes things happen and you gotta switch up a little bit, you're back on track. It's okay. You don't have to agree on everything, because you would never be able to deal with a yes woman at all.
Yeah.
Right? So you don't need somebody to just bow down to everything you're doing. But then Here's the thing that's interesting with this conversation with them. Lauren says nothing was said out of malice, right? Which I don't think what she did was out of malice. I did think it was wrong what she said and when she laughed in his face. But I do think it wasn't out of malice, right? But instead of saying, I know and I understand, Orion does what? He doubles down. And then said, you know, I really wasn't upset. You needed 2 hours by yourself. What do you mean you weren't upset?
You're upset. You were upset because you're a little sensitive. That's okay, because that's what I said. Everyone told me, well, how are you to judge how someone else feels? Okay, let's just keep watching him be sensitive about everything throughout the rest of the season. And then when we get to the reunion, people are going to be like, you know what? Orion is super sensitive. I'm like, didn't I say that when everybody was giving me hell?
Miss C. Will is not giving you hell. She agrees with you. She says Orion is ultra sensitive. Can't keep tiptoeing to cater to his sensibilities, right?
Exactly.
I agree. He is sensitive. I agree. And that's something I think that they got to work on. Here's one thing I think Lauren says, and see if you agree with this. She says it's a good thing this happened on the honeymoon because they have time to hash it out. And, you know, it's hard to stay mad in paradise. No, it ain't. Not if you're petty like me. You can stay, it don't matter where you are, you can stay mad.
You would stay mad, period. Mm-hmm. You'd be skydiving like this, just pouting. Just floating down.
Scream. Hey, our next couple here, Emily and Brennan. Now, they're going flyboarding. They're not going skydiving. They're going flyboarding.
Right.
This looks fun, man. This looks like something I'd want to try.
This is something I would want to do, too. That does look really fun. And you look at Emily's hand. It is super swollen.
Yes.
And I have to give it up to her that she was a trooper for still doing the activity with a swollen hand. Like, she's one of those party must go on. I'm sure she was in college, was probably a puke and rally kind of girl. You know, we all know what the puke and rally is. Mm-hmm. You know, I think she was just that person. Hey, I'm going to go out and have fun. And I admire that about her. I still think she should go get that checked out. But
yeah.
Whatever.
She definitely needs to. I mean, interesting that she's like, I'm not good when I'm not good at things. But then goes out there and is terrible at that. But I mean, when your hand is throbbing, it's hard to keep your balance. And she had a hard time keeping her balance to get up there. But she was still a trooper. And when she got done, you know, she had to throw in that quick sexual joke. You know, it's kind of fun being tossed around in the water.
Hint, hit. Hint, hit, Brennan.
He's like, I caught that. I'm not following up with it. It's okay. We're going to move on, just like we are. To Claire and Cameron. Now, they go splatter painting. So, different activity for these two. And what do you think? I could only imagine you in this space, right? Because he's taking his time. He's got one splatter here, another one. He's going through this very serious, you know, okay, well, and she just decides to be a little playful and splatter some paint on his. And I thought this was about to be something bad until they decided to have fun and splatter paint on each other.
So I wouldn't take something like this serious because I'm on my honeymoon. I'm in Cancun.
Right.
I'm here to have fun.
Exactly. You
know, this is not a job. I didn't get hired to do this painting. So that's different. I thought it was great that they got a chance to be playful and loosen up and just have some fun. I do think Cameron let out a little frustration throwing that paint because he didn't throw it nicely. He was throwing some Brett Favre bombs.
No, he was. That was anger. That was pent up frustration.
Yeah. You didn't brush your teeth on the honeymoon night. Mm. You didn't even take a shower. Mm.
Like, he had a little paint on him. She was covered.
Yeah.
She was doused. I was like, okay. Yeah, he really.
Yeah.
Like,
he let
like,
it happen.
Bodine 21215 says Cameron went a little hard with the paint. He did. He went Waka Flocka hard in the paint.
Yeah, and another thing. Two hands.
Here's the thing, though. At least they can have some fun. They can laugh about it, joke about it. You know, at least they had some fun there, right?
Yeah, I agree.
Now, when they got to the hangout, they did the girls and the guys hangout. One of the things I like about the editing of this one was the fact that as they're talking to one person, they show the other person. And they don't always do that, right? They do, and sometimes they don't. But it was all based on one topic. So we're going to cover it like it's them, like Claire and Cameron. When Claire says she and Cameron are not the most physically affectionate, and then she then reveals she has a problem with it because of her history with other guys. And that's what's bothering her today.
Yeah. Now, I'll be honest. I laughed out loud on this part. Because I'm like, okay, so Claire's not used to PDA because guys in the past wouldn't want to show her off in public or hold her hand.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I was like, wait a minute. What?
But I mean, from a guy perspective and women, too, we've all been there.
Mm-hmm.
There's that person, that buddy you don't mind hanging out with, but no one else is going to see you.
The moped.
Yeah.
Fun to ride, but don't want to be seen in public on it.
I like to say that the Honda Element. Here's about how it drives, but I don't want anybody, my friends, to see me doing it. But exactly. And so I'm like, but she's a beautiful girl. So I'm wondering, like, there has to be more to that. Like, why does that happen that these guys don't want to show off in public or hold hands with her? And then Cameron felt that, you know, they had a good breakthrough moment, but he said that she's not great at helping him understand what she wants, because I think Cameron needs it spoon fed to him. Mm-hmm. Like, I need you to do these things and I'm going to feel like this. And then he can put that in his register and be like, okay, got it.
Yeah. It was interesting. Like L. Ramey says, the ladies had to call out how Cameron is trying, because one of the things that she didn't get was when they're touching, he's the one that's really initiating it, but she doesn't see it as anything. She's just like, eh, whatever. And they had to point it out to her, like, no, even when we first came down after the first night, he opened up his body to you, he was hugging you, and you didn't reciprocate anything. So I like how the fact that they did kind of point that out, and Cameron at the same time, because remember, she said she doesn't think that she doesn't know if he's even attracted to her. And I'm like, right. How? Because we all know that. Then, of course, I thought about it and said, well, we heard that she said on the after party that, you know, he said he was expecting somebody to talk. That doesn't mean he's not attracted. Men are not as particular as women are when it comes to the opposite sex, right? Women are like, he's got to be 6'5", exactly 222 pounds. You know, she's got to be breathing and attractive.
I mean, but honestly, that's how we are, at least most of us. Because there's times in my life, I'm like, you know, people be like, Terrell, you're talking to her. I'd be like, yeah, but she's not cute. And she's like 250. But I'm like, yeah, but she has beautiful hands. Really nice. Or she has beautiful eyes, and they have to me, my attraction level is all over the place. It's not one particular thing. But guys, we're totally open. I think for Claire, I don't think that she's not attracted to him. I just think that she is struggling with connecting with him. Thus, it's building that gap. And I liked how the ladies encouraged her to look for the good instead of focusing on the things that's bad. Exactly. Which I think is what she's been doing this whole time, is just constantly focused on what's not going well.
Right. Before we move on to the next, I just want to point this out. It's pronounced Bodine, the livest five of the Crimson and Cream. All right, Noop, I see you. Next up in this conversation with the hangouts, the girls and the guys hangout, was Lauren telling the girls about her conversation with Orion, right?
Well, and she didn't get into detail.
No details. But she's like, just because y'all think it's all roses, let me tell y'all, it's not. We has our problems. And left. I do like, because I notice people saying that she talked too much. And I know why they say that, because of later on. But that's not even her fault. Let's just point it out. That wasn't even her fault. We'll get to that. Because you and I are on the same page and slightly different on that whole thing. But in this one, she said we had problems. We had a conversation. It's dealing with race. It's dealing with culture, and left it at that. I thought that's the way to, if you have to talk about it, that's the way. Leave the details. It's none of your damn business.
True, but don't bring it up then. To me, that's the equivalent of saying, that's the equivalent of going on social media. Hey, everybody, I need my prayer warriors to pray for me and my family right now. We're going through some things. Because the first thing we want to know is, what's happening, sis?
Yeah.
What's going on, fam?
What the business is.
My God likes specifics when I pray. What do you need me to talk about specifically?
Because if I give him this general prayer,
I can't just say in general.
You may get a nice new plant.
Yeah, I just need to know specifics. Is it just pray for overall, or pray for y'all's marriage because of infidelity? Is that what it is? Is it finances because someone lost their job? You unemployed? What's happening? Give me specifics.
Well, Claire said she was kind of surprised that there's trouble in paradise. I'm like, hey, look, everything is not all roses, right? Which is kind of interesting. We get to some of that a little bit later. But Emily and Brennan, right? They get to theirs, and they almost forget that Emily. Well, was it Claire who forgot that Emily was like the?
They've been in a relationship,
right? And yeah. She's like, oh, I almost forget about that. It's just, it feels normal. Well, I don't know what normal is, but it feels normal being in my first relationship.
Yeah, I like how Claire was like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Like, everybody, let's get off this for a minute. And Well, and Emily said something I thought that was interesting. It's like, because she doesn't have a lot of experience, her first thought is, well, what's going wrong? Like, why is everything going so well? Now she's trying to find something that's wrong. And I'm thinking maybe that could be some of the issues in her previous dating scenarios, because we've all done that. You meet somebody and everything's going well. So instead of focusing on how great it's going, we're trying to be like, okay, let's see what's wrong with them. Let me try to find something that's wrong with them.
How you do it on the first date? Yep. To do.
Well, married at first sight, you can't. It's like, hey, we're in this for 8 weeks. But I feel like they're trying to find something that's wrong with them, which I didn't like that, but I understand where she's coming from.
Let's be honest, though. It hasn't always been her choice, because they said she got ghosted a lot after three dates. So I don't think it's always her. Since she likes to give it up on the first.
Even if she likes to give it up on the first, I have no issue with that. I mean, let's make sure that we are not slut-shaming anybody.
I didn't call anybody any names.
No, I don't agree with that. I think people can sleep with who they want. First date, first hour, whatever. I think there's more to it than just the sex part. That's why Emily has not been in relationships.
The drunk part.
And I think we're seeing some of it. Right. But I don't ever want to go on the record and say it's bad that somebody slept with somebody the first date.
Yeah.
I don't care about all that. I think you do whatever you want to do and what feels comfortable and right for you.
Hey. And I'm all for it. And I love the fact that she's not afraid to show her side with him, because that's her husband. Right.
Yep.
And that's actually what came, because Lauren asked if she still feels good about the relationship since they didn't have sex on the wedding night, because that's something that she wanted, which again, this I don't have a problem with either. To your point, there's no slut shaming anywhere, because, you know, men are sluts too. So we don't want to be shamed for our actions either. our past transgressions. However, I think this is a great question, because that's something she made a point that she wanted to do. She said this: I want to have sex on my wedding night. Okay. Right. Comes out, they didn't. It's days later. They're on the honeymoon and they've been there for a while. They still haven't done it. Are you still good? I thought this was a good question, because she knew how important it was for her.
Fair, because even when you first talked me into watching this show, episode 13, I remember we had the debate. I was like, why are they not sleeping with each other the first night? Mm-hmm. Like, why wouldn't you? You know, you've dated and slept with all these other people who never put a ring on it. This person married you sight unseen. Why wouldn't you sleep with him? But I'm a realist to say that I could also be on this show. Mm-hmm. I would never be on the show. But if I was on the show, I can't guarantee that I'm going to sleep with a person first night. You know, because to your point, there's a lot you don't know. Chemistry and all those different things. I mean, it's just not as easy. And so she probably went into the wedding day with the intent of, hey, well, we're going to do some freaky things because I'm married now. But then once you get with the person, maybe that changes. So I get why they haven't slept together yet. And I think it's great that they're trying to build a little bit something more than just the physical.
Becca and Austin, right? Austin, they ask him about the relationship first. He doesn't have much to say when it comes to him and Becca. And to me, I look at it and go, something is bothering this man, and he's afraid to say it on camera. That was my first thought.
I think he was just trying to play the background, because he didn't want to make it seem like everything is great, because it seems like everything is going great. And the stuff that might be bothering him, he probably can't talk to them about, because that would be disrespectful to Becca. So I don't see anything wrong with what he did or said to the guys. So I thought it was pretty casual.
Mm-hmm. No, it was. I do say this, though. When they get back to Becca and Becca's talking about she likes to get into heavy conversations quickly, and Austin doesn't like to get into them. I see why it's a problem for her, but then she goes, wait a minute, you know, maybe it's just me, because I always like to have those conversations early. And I think for her, it's because she likes to get a lot of stuff out early, just to be able to say, if you want an out, here's an out, be gone now, right? And it's almost like that's what she's trying to give him an out. Do you see this? Like, she's trying, let's talk about religion, let's talk about this, let's talk about this, so that therefore, if you want to get out, you have a reason to get out, as opposed to my health.
Great point that you bring up, because I made note of this too. I don't think this is for her to give him an out. Mm-hmm. I think people do this to give themselves an out. And so I remember when I was on the dating apps, and people were like, I don't like small talk. I want to talk about real stuff. And they want to jump into real conversation to weed you out. It's not so much they care about your political affiliation, what church you want to go to. It's not like they're really passionate about that. They just want to know, like, oh, you're a Republican? Well, I'm a Democrat. It's not going to work. Or you're this? Well, I'm this. It's not going to work. And so I don't think they should jump into these right away. It's the honeymoon. Build some time to get to know each other. You have, what, 8 weeks to really dig deeper into, as she mentioned, politics, religion, children, all those different pieces. You got time. But build a relationship first. So I don't think this is a good tactic for anybody to do when you're first dating, especially for these couples. Like, it's the honeymoon. Let's not try to solve all of our, let's see where do we align on every single issue all in Cancun and then get back. And I think that's what, I think that's what's detrimental to that type of mindset. So I don't think she was doing it to give him an out. I think she's trying to find her red flag because she felt like everything is going well. What is not going to go well? And so she's just trying to align it and figure these things out. And so that's what I think she was doing when she wants to have these real conversations pretty quickly.
I do understand what she's saying. Like, I think when she said, and correct me if I'm wrong, if I'm misremembering this, because I didn't make a note of it. She said she's kind of envious of, was it Clan Cameron? Because they have a lot, they have nowhere to go but up. While for us, here we are on this high, there's nowhere for us to go but down.
But such a pessimistic attitude. Why even think about the down? Enjoy the up.
Yeah. But you're waiting you're waiting for it. When things are going great, you're like, all right, where's it coming from? The left, the right, or is it behind me? Something's about to just mess this up completely. Right or wrong?
Wrong. Because even though when I think about even the short-term relationships that I had, that we've all had, where they speed up, everything's going amazing really quick, and then it ends 3 weeks into it, I'm still thankful because that feeling of that high for those 2 or 3 weeks was great. Focus on that. If it doesn't work out long-term, it doesn't work out long-term. But focus on what's going well with it instead of trying to be like, well, we're at this high. What is going to bring us down? Because now you're looking for it. And you're going to eventually create something that's going to bring it down. In my opinion and in my experience, I've done this. I've been that person that tried to find the wrong and then ended relationships with probably amazing people over something stupid. Because I'm like, I can't.
Yeah. And to be fair, I will say this. Terrell is absolutely right in this. And I say that not just to make him feel good, but in the fact that he actually stands by this. Because my first date with my wife, I told you about, met her. She was great. She's this. And I had one question, like, well, just ask it. Because sometimes we stop ourselves from asking that one question. And really and truly, it's always, just ask it. And you ask the question, you get the answer, you're like, oh, okay. So, because what you can think of is a lot worse.
Yeah. As I call it, if you don't ask the questions and have the conversations, you wind up creating the Lifetime movie in your own head. Uh-huh. And then you go through the whole movie and realize, oh, this does not work out in the end. So I'm going to end this now.
Right.
I've already played the movie in my head. You know,
I know how this is going to end.
I know how this is going to end. So let me go ahead and end it now to save my heart.
Exactly. Well, they get back together after the hangout, and Austin tells Becca that he downplayed their relationship to the guys because, and here's his reasoning. Because remember, I told you, I saw it and I'm like, something's going on. And he hasn't said it. He goes, well, no, it's because I want to discourage. He goes, no, Yanni, let me tell you why. At least that's what they said on my TV. He said he wanted to discourage all the other guys. He didn't want to discourage the other guys because they don't have what he and Becca have already, and they don't have that yet. And I think when he's saying that specifically for Cameron, because Cameron definitely has nothing close to that. But she disagreed with him, too. And I'm sure you do as well.
I loved her quote, by extinguishing your own candle, you don't light anyone else's. Because I think in life, how many times do we do that? How many times that you have some great things that happened to you today and you call a friend that you want to share it with, and then they're telling you about all their negative stuff. And so now you downplay your day. Because you don't want to make them feel bad that everything's going well in your world and their world's going to crap. And I think we do that. And so I loved her quote about that. I think once she watches the replay of the show and she sees kind of what he talked about, she'll see it really wasn't that big a deal. It's not like he downplayed it like, I don't know, guys, just taking it day to day.
Yeah,
cool. He didn't do anything negative. He just wasn't like, oh my God, I'm on cloud nine. I don't know what Orion, whatever you're dealing with. Sorry to hear that. I'm in the best place I've ever been in my life. Like, he didn't go to that
like extreme. We win.
Yeah. But he didn't say anything really bad to like super downplay it. But right. I just love that quote because I think that's something that can apply to a lot of us in our own lives, whether it be career, personal, you know, anything, right? Right. Anything that you're doing. Sometimes that things are going well, but we downplay it because the people around us are not having a good day. And I'm like, right. No, keep, let your light shine. Because eventually the brighter your light shines, the brighter your candle is, it could spill over and light someone else's candle.
And oh, burn the whole house down. Either way, it could work.
But you got burned down, burn it down.
Burn it down with a smile on your face.
Burn it down with a smile on my face.
Claire and Cameron, they get together after the get-together, and he reveals that he told the guys he thought he was a good communicator, and being with Claire kind of showed him that he isn't.
Mm-hmm.
And then Claire even had a revelation of, she realizes that not everybody... The conversation with the girls kind of brought to her that everybody doesn't communicate the same, because she thought she was a great communicator too. And she's then realized that, hell, she wasn't picking up on his cues and everybody else was.
Right. I think that was a great moment for them.
Yes.
Because I think that they've been in their own head trying to figure things out. Once he got a chance to talk to other people, mm-hmm. it helped them see it from a different perspective. And I think Cameron realized that, okay, Claire's on a level of communication that I'm far from.
Right.
But I need to ask better questions, understand more about her. And then Claire also realized that I've been focusing on these other things, not realizing the little things that Cameron is trying to do. So right. I'm saying, I don't know if he's attracted to me, but I didn't even notice he put his arm around me. I didn't right. notice he's trying to do these things. I was just focused on the fact that he didn't grab my bag. Right. And, help me out at the airport. I'm focusing on all this little crap.
Right.
So I thought this was a good conversation for those two.
I thought it was a step in the right direction for them to take their relationship to the next level of just being cordial.
Yes.
Not even the next level basics. Physically. Just to be cordial. Then Lauren and Orion, we see them next. And they meet up for some ice cream. And Lauren actually brought one of his favorites, strawberry ice cream. Because she remember, yeah. He's like, oh my God, you remembered. And I only told you once.
I love that because I suck at this. I don't remember things like this at all. I am the worst gift giver. I'm terrible at it. I'm like, just tell me what you want. Uh-huh. Because you might mention something. I am not going to remember whatever you mention as your favorite thing where I'm like, ooh, note to self. They like this. I'm terrible at that. So I like
cheat code.
She did that.
Cheat code in the contacts, there's a note section. Make notes.
But even I might think to myself, okay, when I get in the car, I need to put this in the note section.
Don't even do don't
and
even
I'll
wait.
Forget.
Do it. Just do it.
As soon as they say it, be like, oh, word?
Yeah. So and you keep the conversation going and then you just go ahead and you do it. Just make a note, keep going. Trust me, it works out. Especially when it comes to buying a ring. You need to know, I'm not gonna remember this. I'm not gonna remember this. What do you mean?
All right.
I know nothing about this crap.
Lesson learned. I'm gonna have to go to the notes section and put that stuff in there and be like.
And it's a great place to put dates too, besides the calendar. It's a great place to put it because you just know these are all the notes I need to remember. Just cheat code. Remember that. All right.
Got it.
Now they're having a great conversation about their previous hiccup that they had. We're still on this whole cultural differences. Lauren says she wants to make sure that no matter what happens at night, they still have makeup sex in the morning. Okay, well, she said cuddles and snuggles and all this other stuff, which is why she's trying to deflate why she slept out of the bed the whole damn night and snuck in at the last minute. No. You better be in there the whole night or stay your ass out. Jesus. Again, I'm sticking to that.
You are like the warden. It's prison for you. This is prison rules in your relationship. You stay in the bed when I'm in the bed. You don't leave the bed till I leave the bed. Like, goodness, man. Let that go. Who hurt you? Show me on the doll where they touched you. Who hurt you? What happened?
Hey, Orion's going to have to show us because Lauren says, we made it through this. It's going to get crazy after this, which is her warning to him that, look, the family cookout ain't going to be as all kumbaya as you think it is here on this honeymoon with all these other folks who are stepping on eggshells because my family... don't act this nice.
Yes.
Because like you said, you can be playing dominoes and some jokes will come out that he's going to be all offended by. So that's what it sounds like, a warning that she was giving him there.
Yeah, I don't know. But I just was, it's great that they seem like they're back in a better groove. And they're over it, because I'm over it. I'm over this whole conversation about what happened a week ago. Like, I feel like maybe this is their point to, let's say, hey, we're going to move on. We're going to move forward.
Right. Yeah. The next thing that happened, the couples get together. Becca tries to help Emily with her dreads, her hair, in the bus as they're heading out to the boat trip, which gets canceled, right? Mm-hmm. Here's the thing I thought that was interesting on this ride, though. Before we get to the card game, Cameron found out on this bus ride that he can snuggle with his wife to stretch his feet out instead of moving to another seat. Because she's like, I don't understand why you move. But he said, well, I didn't. So you could have sat here and stretched your legs out. Yeah, but then I would have been leaning on you like this. And she's like, that's fine. He's like, oh, I can do that?
Yeah.
Next level achieved.
Yeah. But I thought that was great. This is her trying to take initiative.
Right.
Because he's like, he's tall. And so he might want to stretch his legs out. She's like, hey, you can lean up on me. And this is her way of kind of letting him in to get a little of that physical tension. So I was proud of her for doing that.
Yeah. No, I was really happy that she did do that. And that was a good moment for them. As Nicole A says, the show supplied them with card games on the honeymoon. And Michelle was like, you know what? I thought it was weird, card games on a honeymoon. Yeah, but they were like, all right, we need an activity, quick. Somebody go to the gift store. Hey, what do y'all play at night? No, bring those cards. Let's give it to them. Let's have some fun with it. And that's what they did. They had to figure something out because they were supposed to be on the boat that day, right? Mm-hmm. And I like the way they kind of did this game, though. Instead of just asking your partner, ask anybody at the table. And we're not going to go through all of these because some of them were all stuff we've heard before or whatnot. But Becca starts with Cameron, asks his biggest pet peeve. And this, I thought, was hilarious. Because he goes, if I walk into a grocery store and they don't have a self-checkout, I'm walking right out.
Your New Zealand accent is terrible.
It's horrible. It's terrible. It's
terrible.
Don't even try that again. But I kind of agree with him because I love self-checkout. Only because I worked in grocery. So like it doesn't freak me out of having to look up the produce and find the codes or whatever else. But it's so much faster to get in, get out. I don't have to deal with anyone else's crap. Mm-hmm. I love self-checkout. So I don't blame him for that one.
My mom and I battle it out. Matter of fact, to the point that we stop battling it out now. Now when we go to the grocery store together, she just grabs her stuff and goes. Because my mom refuses to do self-checkout. She's one of those, I don't work here, people. Okay? And her thing really is, if we all use self-checkout, these people are not going to have jobs. So therefore, I'm going to use these people so they can keep their job. That's her mentality. I'm like, yeah, but they're slow as hell. I'm going through self-checkout.
Because they're normally like 16-year-olds, no personality. You just like, how you doing? Fine. Deet, deet, nothing. You know, no engagement. They're not telling me about a potential sale that's happening next week and I should come back, you know, to get anything. I don't see the big deal. And
it's okay to take off from work, Terrell.
I think you and I are more forward thinking like a lot of companies because some of these jobs are going to go away. And so the cashier, do you really need it? In 2030, do we need cashiers? No. Do we need
to? Like the fact they have them, though.
Could we shut down the
post office? I worked in grocery retail, too. And at some point, you still need that. Because especially when the lines get long, the self-checkout. You have people who don't know how to use the self-checkout.
But those people are going to pass away over time. And you're going to have people who grow up learning how to use self-checkout. Right? It's just the circle of life. It's just going to happen, right? So I would rather like, hey, I'm totally good. Let me do my own groceries. I'm fine with it. But at some point, it's just like taking checks. At some point, they will no longer take checks at grocery stores. Deal with it.
Michelle says, I love self-checkouts. Also, don't have to deal with attitude. So right there with you. Moondance says, your mom is right, honey. Yeah, she usually is. I just can't tell her that all the time.
Hey, I think it's great. I love me some self-checkout. I can get in, get out. I can go on about my life. I don't have to talk to you. Don't give me that fake, how's your day going? Because you don't care. You don't really want to know.
I just want to point this out. So especially Wednesday, mom and them, everybody comes into town. We go to the grocery store. She actually gets all the stuff out of her thing, goes in line, and out of the cart, goes in line. By the time I do two or three more laps around the store, and I go through self-checkout, and I'm walking out the door, where's my mom? Just walking out the door. That self-checkout was a lot faster.
Yeah.
I just want to point that out real quick.
What's your time worth? They want you, because if you look at the, and you worked in retail, they want you to stand in that line so you can buy all that little crap that they're trying to sell you.
That's why they put it right there.
Few more dollars out of you. Mm-hmm. Where if you want to control your checkbook, go to self-checkout. Do your thing and move on and get out. I went in to get these 10 items and I'm walking out with these 10 items. Self-checkout, go.
Or you end up buying that white chocolate Kit Kat or the Hershey's cookies and cream or the two for a dollar bags of chips. You always buy some of the extra stuff.
Oh wow. 2 9-volt batteries for $9.99? That's a good deal.
Oh, that's so much you can go on with deals, especially stuff I saw on TikTok. We'll do that on another thing. Cameron goes to Emily and says, what are you curious about that you haven't explored yet, right? Back to this card game. And my initial thought was going to be sex with my husband. But that wasn't her answer.
Because I've been dropping hints. I've been dropping hints like a mofo. Let's do this.
Instead, she said she was curious about being in love.
Well, she hasn't. It hasn't happened for her.
Right. So, and neither has sex with her husband. But
right. But it just hasn't happened for her. So it made sense that she gave that answer. So I wasn't too turned off by that. Claire said, you know, they asked her what was the biggest life lesson she's learned to show people you care about. What's the biggest life lesson that she's learned? She said to show people how much you care about them. Because you can miss on an opportunity because life is short. Which we recognize that because, you know, she lost her... She's what part of quadruplets, so she lost one of her brothers to suicide. And I think we can all relate to how many times we wish we would have said something else to somebody, or as they say, give them their flowers while they're still alive. So I like that moment that she spoke about, because I think it's so true.
Yeah, then interestingly enough, Cameron follows that up and says he's guilty of taking people he loves for granted. And I thought this was a great moment for him to just show some vulnerability. He really didn't give a whole lot about it, but you can see in that moment, and actually a little prior to that and after that moment, Claire, at least editing, well, the same shot, they used it twice, actually, with her hand on his leg under the table. But then even when asking him a question, she's trying to wipe something off his face. So it's good to see her now reciprocating some of that affection, that physical touch.
Well, I think this is what, and ladies, you know, hit me up in the comments on this. I think this is where that vulnerability comes in that everyone talks about on these reality shows. Because without this type of moment, when Claire's talking to Cameron, Cameron seems very cold. Remember I said I feel he's on the spectrum just because of the way his answers are and all that. So it's good to be able to show some of your own vulnerability and talk about some things that might make you a little uncomfortable that you wouldn't share with everybody. And the more that he's doing that, I think the more that Claire is finding him to be more attractive. And so I think this helps their relationship when he's able to be that open with her.
Yeah. Orion asked Cameron the hardest part to accept of yourself to accept. And something he said there about a lot of his memories not aligning with who he is anymore. And my first thought is, well, that's called growth. But it's more than that as he kind of delves into that a little bit more.
Well, and I wish he would, and he might have shared more, they just edited out, but I would love to hear more of that story. Because he talks about how when he was a young kid and student, he was kind of a little, you know, hellraiser. And then his parents get divorced. And that was just so traumatic for him. And I know it's hard for me to relate because my parents got divorced. And it wasn't traumatic for me. You know, it was just like, okay, well, this happened. I still had love from both of them. And I was fine. But everyone handles it and deals with it differently. So I'm wondering, like, there's more to that. But the fact that he's able to look at his life today and maybe what he thought it was going to be, and I think this might be where you're going with the growth comment, where he thought it would be, it's totally different. But the fact that he was just that open with that group, because that's a very vulnerable thing for anybody to share.
Right.
But the fact that he was open, I loved how the group showed support and empathy with Cameron as he was opening up about a lot of this stuff to make him not feel like he should retreat and never say something like that again. And all that again made Claire more attracted to him.
Yeah, it didn't dry up like it normally, like his comments normally do.
Yeah, yeah.
As you like to point out, Emily and Brennan, after this card game get together, then you know Emily gets an appointment with a professional hairdresser who speaks not a lick of English, and apparently they didn't tell him. They told him, "All right, so we've got this white woman here. She needs some help with her hair." And he was like, "Oh, easy."
I call BS on all this because I used to work for a company where I had to go to Tijuana, Mexico, 1 week a month. And the resort that I stayed at all the time, it was a nice place. Of course, they all spoke Spanish. But the people at the front and the bartenders, they spoke English. Yes. They could have easily went down and got somebody to say, "Hey, I need you to talk to this hairstylist for me.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm needing," right? So I call BS on this. But the other thing is, this hairstylist shows up and apparently doesn't have scissors. If you listen to the after party, he doesn't have scissors. So she had to give him those, you know, the little small, she had their eyebrow scissors, which I didn't know. I always find them in like the little nail kits that you get that has like a clipper, emery board, and like these little scissors. So he was using those to cut out the weave. And I'm like, what hairstylist doesn't have scissors?
Look, it's... I didn't realize that he didn't have those scissors. He didn't bring those himself because I didn't watch the after party. But it was weird that they put the amount of time it took for him to get that out. So this is his first, like, what? He could hear him right now just like, what is this? He has no idea what's happening back here.
¿Qué es esto? ¿Qué es esto? What is this?
Adios mío. He had no idea what to do with it, man. Oh my God. Keedy says it was nostril hair tweezers that he was using.
Yes.
Hey, Michelle says that his stylist didn't know what the heck he was. He had no idea what he really did. He looked as lost as you and I would be trying to cut that weave out of head, too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was just like, I don't think that was a real stylist.
Trini has a great point here. Exactly, Tell. People there speak English. Plus, there must be a beauty salon / spa on the premises. And the Married at First Sight production crew was like, that's not in the budget. Find us somebody cheap. Find us somebody who's going to give us something that's TV worthy, please.
In fact, get that handsome looking kid that was making the street tacos. Get him. Bring him. I got this shirt and a vest for him. Here's what we're going to do. This is going to play really great on tape.
Yvonne says, what hairstylist doesn't come with scissors? Exactly. And High Vibe says, what? They don't have weaves in Mexico?
Well, I don't know. I'm not a weave connoisseur. All I know is that's not a real hairstylist.
Now, this is how you know these couples aren't as tight as probably in the past. Because Brandy Yvonne says, Laura should have told Emily not to jump in any water with tracks in her hair.
You know?
Like, look, you got to get these vacation braids for a reason. Tell, now do you see why braids over weave on vacation?
No. Don't get in that water with some weave. That's all. I'm just saying,
there's a reason why there's vacation braids. So you can get in the water and you'll be fine.
Maybe this is what some people call white privilege. She just feels like nothing's going to happen to me. I'm beautiful and it's blonde and I have these tracks. Let's jump in the water and have some fun.
Yeah.
Everything will be fine.
Oh, my God. That was hilarious. By the way, did you go back? I got to ask this before we move on. Did you go back and look at last week's episode so you could see the difference in the hair? Did you at least see this episode? No, just in the lid. Because you can see the different texture. Because I remember I said last time, the salt water was tearing her weave up. And you could tell. And you said you didn't notice.
No, I didn't notice. No, I didn't go back and look at it because I'm not petty like you are. Because you're not asking me that to help educate me. You're asking me this so I can say, Yanni, you were right. That's not happening. Yes.
Toya says, I'm getting my vacation braids on Tuesday. Hey, there you go. Congratulations on vacation coming up. Oh, man. Look, so we finally get this couple's boat trip, right? And yeah. on this boat trip, you see a lot of sectioning off of couples, and then they had a quadruple. Well, let's start with Emily and Brennan here, because Emily thanks Brennan for being so good through her hair trauma. And she just really felt supported in that moment.
Which is great, because most guys, we'd be like, I don't understand. You know, we'd like, we wouldn't get it because we don't deal with that. I mean, look at mine. Right. I just, a few breaststrokes, throw some good stuff in there, and I'm out the door. I don't even worry about it. So we have no idea some of the struggles that women go through. And so I think it was great that not only was Brennan supportive, I think he was supportive in a way that this was a big deal to Emily. And I think she was trying to downplay how big of a deal this is and how panicked and freaked out she was. Right. And I get it. Like I go to the same barber every Saturday that I've been seeing for 5 years. I just couldn't randomly go in some other state and be like, yeah, let me just get so-and-so to cut my head. I'm like,
Yeah. Cause I hate when the barbers try to give me the LeBron, you know? and that's usually the last time I go there when, you know, when they take your hairline back and we're like, hey, stop trying to square. This is not geometry. Stop trying to square it off. Follow the line.
Yeah. Follow what's already there.
And put that paintbrush down. No, you're not fellow shitting. Stop. You do that. No. You do that. You're lucky I don't go to the sink and just wash it out right there in front of you. Don't you put that shit in my head. I like this conversation that was going on with Lauren and Orion, Becca and Austin, right? Because it's a nice four-person conversation, two-couple conversation. And Orion says the reciprocation is the thing that makes him most at ease. And that's something that he hasn't had before. And that's what makes him feel good in his relationship with Lauren.
And I get it. They're both givers. Mm-hmm. Now, I think it's great that they're both givers, but there's some challenges with that because at some point you got to take. The benefit of being a giver is you want to see the person take.
Right.
You both just can't keep giving. And so I wonder how that's going to work out. But I think that is the bond that they have, as well as the fact that Becca and Austin have so many things in common, which is what's helped their relationship and how they've been able to bond quickly. So I like how they put these two couples together because they seem to be doing better than the other two couples.
Yeah, indeed. You know, Austin said that Becca makes him feel safe. Mm. Said it's not something that he wanted, but now that he has it. And I thought that part right there was interesting because what I said earlier, as guys, we're not normally, and ladies, if you run into a guy that has a list of all the things he wants in a woman, run. Because he probably wants more than you do. This is one of the things that it wasn't a priority for him. Like, okay, I need to feel safe.
Yeah.
But now that I have this safety feeling, this feeling of safety, I'm like, I can't do without it. And that's kind of what he's saying. I thought that was pretty dope.
Yeah. I thought that was really nice. I mean, you could tell that the connection between those two is super strong. This is why everybody's rooting for them out of all four couples. Mm-hmm. Everybody has, you know, they're all in the poker table on Becca and Austin.
Now, we saw so much promise with these two, Claire and Cameron, you know, earlier, and they were really taking that next step. And then, I don't know, is it me? Or do they remind you of a high school couple? Because Cameron is just clumsy around her, right? Just even trying to put his arm around her, and he's just like, she's like, it's okay, you can do it. Okay.
It's just, Cameron is just odd, right? And the more we get to know him, you start to realize, like, it's just who he is. It's not a thing that he needs to work on. You just got to accept that. So Cameron said it seemed there's been a changing of the tide where he feels more comfortable around Claire. He can hold her hand and put his arm around her, not think anything about it. So Claire agrees and says, hey, yeah, you know, I also feel more comfortable. And then Cameron kills the moment again by saying something dumb, which he continuously does.
Yeah.
So she's trying to talk. He interrupts her and says, hey, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings, which anybody starts a conversation with you saying, hey, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. They're about to hurt your feelings.
They're about to hurt your feelings, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. He says, but
not trying to be rude, but. Us,
yeah, I'm not trying to be rude. I don't want to offend you, but. insert offensive comment. But between the two of us, this experience has been harder on you. And she's like, why do you say that? And he says, well, I feel like I'm more willing to be in uncomfortable situations than you are. And I'm like, dude, why would you say that?
I didn't understand that either. I did not understand why he would say that.
Why would you do this to yourself? That makes no sense. Then he tries to clean it up after and still screws it up because he starts to give her a lot of praise and says how she's such an amazing person and easy on the eyes. That's what every woman wants to hear, is that they're easy on the eyes. Even a guy, I don't want to hear I'm easy on the eyes.
Best compliment ever. You're easy on the eyes.
Could you imagine? How was Thanksgiving dinner? It was edible.
Well, was it?
Yeah, it was edible. No woman wants to hear you're easy on the eyes. So why would you even say that? Just say, hey, you're such an amazing person and you are so beautiful that I love to look at you every day. And I'm so thankful to go through this experience with you. If he'd have said something like that, win.
Yeah. No, indeed. You know, it's funny because Black Tornado says he's a walking uncomfortable situation.
Yeah,
he is. He really and truly is, man. All right, last couple here again. Back to Lauren and Orion. And this is where this whole talking, they say that she talks too much. But first, they're talking about the day, the contact between the two, the fact that they were looking at each other and just, oh, man, I love looking at my man and love looking at my woman. And then it gets on to what sex would be like. You know, I feel like we're ready to take that next step. And this just felt very awkward to me, first of all. You know, just like, all right, well, how would that, what does that look like? Well, I think it looks like I see foreplay. And because Orion asked her that, how's sex look to you with us? Well, Lauren says, I think I see it starting with some foreplay and some fellatio. And I was like, yes. She goes, from you. And I'm like, wait, what? How's this work? Is this something you're not telling us, Lauren? What in the Bruce Jenner, Caitlyn Jenner are we talking about here?
I knew what she meant. I think she just slipped up and used the wrong word. But okay. I knew what she meant. I think what she's saying is going to start out with a couple pecks, and then I'm going to push your head downstairs and make you do the thing that I like. I think that's really what she said, but she just used the wrong word because she used fellatio instead of, would you say, cunnilingus? That's what it probably should have been. So, oops, she said that.
Yeah, I just thought that was kind of weird. But then to get to the whole thing about the Red Room talk and the sex toys, and he's like, I have a sex toy collection. She's like, a collection? That means you've collected it over time with different people. He's like, no, it's less than five. No, 4.5. Then, he's not...
This conversation, I'm sorry to interrupt you, this conversation seemed like in-person phone sex.
Right.
To me. What would you do to me if I was there? I would start to kiss you from your chin. Ooh, keep going. What else would you do? I'd bring out a toy. What toy? Like, it seemed like in-person phone sex to me.
Yes. You know what? That is a great way to describe it. That is a great way to describe it. Tell me more. Well, I would go down. She's like, well, down and around? Because I like when you go around.
I like
just
that.
Go straight for it.
Yeah, keep
Don't
doing
go
that.
Straight for just it. Go around first. Okay, yes. Then that's what I meant. Down and around.
And
around and around.
Gonna,
and then back around downtown.
Ooh, I like when you do that. Tell me more.
Oh, my God.
In-person phone sex. I've never done that. But that's exactly what that was.
I just want to point out. See, it wasn't just me. Ashley Marie says, because I caught this on the fellatio thing, right? She says, I'm glad someone caught that. Kitty says, I thought I was crazy. Yes, Ashley, that's exactly what she meant. But Kitty does respond. I love when these conversations keep going like this. Because he goes, hey, she might have meant what she said. Yeah. Today's woman is always talking about my D, so she might have meant what she said. Oh, my God. But look, here's the thing I didn't like that Orion did, because it's such a move of trying to... He wants to know, so he throws it out there and... in the roundabout manner that we all did when we were younger, right? So his thing of asking this question is, All right. Well, you know, I was kind of nervous about, you know, us having sex because it's been a long time since I have. It's been a year and a half. How long for you? he wanted to know.
I will say, let me just clean that up just a little bit because I see where you're going, but it's a little bit different. Lauren said that, look, I want the sex to be organic between mm-hmm. us. So don't feel like there's pressure just because we're having this conversation.
Right.
She has expectation when they get back to the room, which I'm like, okay, I respect that. And Orion appreciated because he said it's been a little more than a year and a half since he had sex. Now, it just kind of happened in the conversation where he was like, well, how long has it been for you? And she said, it's been like 2 months ago. And this is when the whole thing went down south, because this is when I really didn't like Orion, because mm-hmm. I felt that he tried to shame her for having sex 2 months ago. He gets really judgy and says he just doesn't hand himself out to anybody.
I didn't like that comment. Just
handing herself out to everybody. I'm like, you have no idea who that person was.
Right.
So now, what if it's just a friend with benefits that she's known for years? What if it's so, I mean, not like she just walked down the street and said, hey, you at the bus stop, you got 30
Get
minutes.
Get over here.
Get in here. Suit up. I'm putting you in. You know, I don't think it was like that at all. I just don't like how he handled that. And he just judged her just because she had sex. And for you to be a year and a half, that's awesome for you. But don't judge other people on how quickly they have sex with someone else. I just didn't like that conversation at all. And he's just annoyed me.
Well, I'll say this, and I agree with you, but I will say this. In his defense, they both just said, I don't like to give myself, with it's more physical. It's a much more deeper connection. So I think that hit him harder to find that it was 2 months. The thing I didn't like that he said about that part also was he said, well, I like to think of it once they told me, because she said it was 2 months to the day of that day that they were sitting there, right? So he's like, well, I like to think that once they told me we had a match that I was engaged. That's how I thought of myself. And she's like, well, yeah, this was right before. So basically like, and you can take it right before could be a day before, a week before, an hour before.
Right. But I mean, it doesn't matter. Even if she just randomly went to the club and hooked up with a stranger, who cares? Let's stop judging people, especially women, for doing the same thing that men have been doing for years. I don't like it. I don't like when guys do it. But for him to like look at that, she didn't know you. It'd be one thing mm-hmm. if y'all went on 3 dates and then she slept with an FWB and then she comes to you. That's different. But she mm-hmm. didn't even know who you were. Don't judge this person for anything that she did before she knew you. I don't think it's right. I don't think it's fair. And I think men are the most sensitive people about this issue than women.
Heads
women
down.
Know that you've been sleeping with someone else last Saturday and they give you a pass. Mm-hmm. Men will judge somebody hardcore about this. And I think that's just wrong.
Black Tornado says he's too fast to judge her in general. Yvonne says Orion lives with his mama. He can't bring girls home. That's funny.
That's why it's been a year and a half. My mama house.
My mama house. You can't come home. You know, the thing about it, too, though, is that he is judging her in this moment. He's bringing it on her. And then he says, it took sex off the table.
Yeah. Oh my God, you slept with someone else before you even knew who I was? I can't touch you.
You've been on the record saying before, like, you know, you never want to know and you don't care if you meet somebody and if they slept with somebody right before they met you, as long as it's not after, then it's not a problem.
Right, I could care less. I'd assume anybody I've ever dated, I'm assuming I'm not your first and that you slept with other people. And however many people that was, I'm not judging you for any of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I just don't like how Orion has done this. He's just this goes into my super sensitive, weak man stuff. I think that's just weak. You got to judge a woman for sleeping with somebody before she even knew who you were. And that's going to take sex off the table for you because she's had sex more recently than you have.
A lot more recently, by the way.
Yeah. And he makes it seem like she's like this, you know, it's like she's some whore or something. I feel like he slut shamed her for it. I'm like, I just don't give my body to anyone else. He's just weak. He's weak sauce. I just don't like him.
Michelle says, a whole year and a half. What? LOL. Katie says, not with his girth certificate. And Tracy says, I see his point, that she knew she was going through the process of possibly getting married and had sex anyway.
But she didn't know she got accepted into the process.
But if you're going through the process, to Tracy's point, you're going through the process. Can't you hold off on this one last? Hey, hold up.
Sometimes you got an itch that needs to get scratched. So.
AKA. Oh, here's one we're not surprised about, because I didn't see this. Donna D says, on the after party, Emily said she also had sex about 2 months before she got chosen. Well, there's a difference. That's 2 months before she got chosen. At least that's what she says. So 2 months prior to being chosen, which would have put her almost 3, maybe 4 months out. Because this one was 2 months to the day that they were on the honeymoon.
Nope.
That's what's bothering.
That's not what she said.
She said 2 months to the day.
She said 2 months, 2.5 months ago. And so 2.5 months ago would have been right before she found out that she was accepted and they found a match for her. That's what she said. And so
Lauren said she said 2 months to the day. Go back and watch it.
She said 2 months, 2.5 months.
She said 2 months to the day.
Right.
Go back.
But she didn't know that she had found a match yet.
But she was going through the process.
It doesn't matter.
And it does.
She didn't know she found a match.
My point
is, if you sign up for eHarmony, does that mean you can't sleep with anybody else? Unless you just meet someone through.
The point that was being made, that I made just a minute ago, that I think you completely missed, is if Emily said 2 months before she got chosen, that's still different than 2 months to the day. 2 months to the day is still closer.
It's not any different. It's not any different.
It is different.
She hasn't met Orion yet. It's not any different.
It
you
is
can sleep
it
with
is
as many people as you want to before she met Orion, before she got to the altar, she was technically single. Now, she didn't sleep with somebody after she was technically engaged. But it's a show. Stop trying to fault her for that, because men have been doing it all the time. And I didn't see you have the same energy for old boy last season. That what was his name? The one that was with the girl that he didn't like because of her smile.
What's the season? Oh, I forget the names. So you gotta jump on that one.
I forget. I can see his face, but I'm sure people in the comments might know what I'm talking about. But he didn't like her because of her smile, and he never even touched her. He wasn't sex attracted to her. They wanted to get a divorce. He slept with somebody right before, and it wasn't 2 months before he found out. Mm-hmm. He slept with somebody before he walked down the aisle.
Yeah. Oh, no. Here's the thing.
Eris. Yes.
Eris. That's the dude. Yeah. Eris. That's the guy's name. Yeah. Here's the thing about this. I'm not saying she's wrong for having sex. I'm just saying, why it's bothering him. And a lot of people said he's weak. Yeah, he's weak. But men, and you pointed this out before, men have a problem with that a lot more than women will. Because there's a reason why a man can cheat and say, well, get over it. And then what happens after? It's like the woman cheats one time. Oh, my God. You've destroyed our home. It's like, wait a minute. You did it 52 times. What are you talking about? Just say. But yeah, so that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that she's wrong for doing it at all. I'm not shaming her for doing it. Look. People go on for their bachelor parties to have sex, which is crazy to me. You know, I don't understand the whole strippers for a bachelor party. And I didn't have any, don't want any, didn't want any at all. I didn't have a tip you to tease me, damn it. I can get teased for free. Got married.
Yeah. I think Orion's just being a little way too sensitive.
He is.
About this, and it's just weak. And so I don't think this is going to help their relationship. Now, because of this, I can see Lauren going, why am I even being bothered with this? This is just, it's too much. So I hope that Lauren just decides to move on.
You know, before we get out of here, Karen says, hello from Exuma, Bahamas. Love you guys. Well, appreciate it. We love you too. Thank you very much.
Hey, Karen.
Appreciate you. Now, Nikki B, talking back on Lauren and Orion, because, you know, they have been the hot topic of discussion for the last couple episodes, says, this is back to earlier in the show, says, laughing in my face about my race twice and then volunteering your last sex activity only 2 months ago is trash behavior. So this pulls right back into this current conversation. But again, are we shaming her for that? And she didn't bring that up, though. Here's the thing about this. She didn't volunteer it. He asked. And this is the one thing I would... Because, Nikki, I'm with you on some of this, but I got to say, the fact is, she didn't volunteer it. He brought that whole time, and he did it in a way that guys do it all the time. Ladies, I'm sure you've seen guys try to pull this, well, you know, that hasn't been that many for me. How many have you slept with? When's the last time you had sex? And trying to throw it out in some kind of weird way to get it. And he did that. The problem is you can't ask a question and not be prepared for the answer. And he wasn't prepared for that answer. He was not.
No, prepared. He wasn't. Because you can't be, hey, what did you do before you knew me? It doesn't count.
Yeah. But
if you're going to be like, oh, well, 2 months ago, this takes sex off the table. For me, because you're unclean. BS.
Right. That was uncalled for. There were a couple of things he said in that exchange that were very uncalled for. That was definitely one of them, because now, I'm going to punish you because you did this. No, shut up.
Right.
Seriously, that was kind of, let's see. High Five said, watching that hairdresser cut her hair, cut Emily's hair was triggering. Trini says, red flag. Emily said that her hair is not an issue, but if she was bald, Austin already married her. Well, it's Brennan. Brennan had already. Oh, no. I think, was it Becca who said that? Because I think you're getting couples
Becca,
mixed in.
Becca was the one that said that she was complimenting Emily, saying that she's beautiful even with her hair being messed up.
Right.
And Becca said that I'm only beautiful because of my hair. Mm-hmm. That if I didn't have my hair and I was bald, you know, it wouldn't work out.
Yeah, but it said Austin already married her. Austin's already married to her, so now she's saying red flag. So, yeah. And do you think that's a red flag, too?
If she was bald?
No, she's like, well, you already married me, so it's too late. I think that's the point she's pointing out. The fact of, I know she got the couples a little confused there in that space, but her point is, Becca's saying, look, I love my hair. My hair defines me, but if I go bald, that's the worst thing. But he has already married me, so it's too late.
We'll grow back. If not, there's wigs.
Mm-hmm. Miss Sewell says, I'm team cheat codes in the notes, and I literally do this as I'm talking and even say that I'm doing it. So see, you can do it while you're in conversation. You don't have to wait till you get to the car. Do it. I'm making a note of that.
I'm going to have to try that, or just do like the talk to text.
Don't do that.
She likes.
That is creepy. Don't do that. Nikki B on Cameron says, I like that Cameron doesn't attempt any physical contact unless he gets the verbal yes. Yeah, because he's been shot down too many times. He's like, look, man, there's only so many times I'm going to go down.
I like that too about him, that he goes for consent every single time. Mm-hmm.
L. Ramey says, I like when you guys have sidebars, makes the lives longer. We're not really trying to make it longer in that space. It's just that sometimes those conversations, it's just based on personal experience, and we're glad that you guys enjoy it, because we definitely love, we love talking about the show, but I think it also brings up a lot more conversations that we need to have on self-checkout. Like Brown Girl says, I'm also, I don't work here person.
It's all right. It's convenience. It's convenient.
Yeah, this is crazy. I don't think so. And Ron L says that anyone else think Lauren has some big old feet. I don't think so.
I didn't notice that. If she did, and if she has big feet, she has big feet. I think something that I'm trying, that I think Yanni and I make a really good effort of doing this.
Yeah.
As we talk about these shows, but I really try to do this is, one, I try not to body shame anybody. Mm-hmm. Because that's low-hanging fruit, that's stupid. But
it is.
I just don't like to do it. I try my best not to do it. And definitely, if you ever catch me doing it, call me out. But I try my best not to body shame anybody. Now, if you
and
wear
her
some
feet
crazy
are not
outfits,
big.
I will totally talk about that. If you got some busted toes, that's not body shaming. That's you need a pedi. That's okay. I know Yanni looks at that. Yanni's looking at pedicures.
Hey, I'm a foot guy. I'm sorry. I'm a foot guy. Here's one thing. Phil Collins, in the air tonight, said Lauren's dad saw through Orion immediately. He's fake, immature, and broke.
True.
But people gave Lauren's dad a hard time for what he did. Even you gave Lauren's dad a hard time.
Well, I just thought he went at him pretty hardcore. But it's like, okay, if you think all these things, you ever just meet somebody that you know is a scrub? I don't have to call you a scrub to your face. I'm just like, noted. This will all work out. I don't need to do that.
Terrell Dina says, the one time I had braids in the 90s, I cried when I got them wet because they were so heavy and pulled my hair. Is that why you don't like braids? But did the woman have braids and she jumped in the pool and head was stuck back like this? Is that what it was?
No, I'm not going to talk about braids conversation anymore. We keep trying to bring it up. Let's agree to disagree and let's move on with our lives.
Tara G says Emily handled a hair fiasco like a champ. Yes, she did.
She did.
She really did. And here's an interesting one here from Move Around. Says, please accept my apology if this is inappropriate. This sounds like it's about to be appropriate. Yeah. I saw that I had to start it immediately. I was like, I don't know what else it says after this, but I gotta see it. Just, but if Orion was a black man, people would be dragging him all over the internet. If she's gonna get a man that feminine, why not get a woman? Because she wants a man.
Look, and she would have asked those same questions if he was a black man. That changes the whole dynamics. She's not going to ask him if he said the N-word because he'd probably be like, yeah, I've said it.
Right.
And I've said it to songs. I do it all the time. Talk to my best friends. I say these N-words. I don't think that's not an apples to apples comparison.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Man, look, we love you guys. Please, I know, I always forget. I need to make notes in the contact section to remind you guys. Please hit the like button. And we're back on our regularly scheduled program this Thursday, back for episode number 7.
Yes. I definitely enjoyed it. I'm hoping that everybody has a great start to their week next week now that we got holiday over. And here's the scary thing. We're like 29 days from Christmas. So if you haven't started shopping, if you're a Christmas person, I'm not. But if you haven't started shopping, 29, man, how fast this year has gone by. Between days till Christmas.
Hey, I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts from the bullshit you found on the internet. We'll talk about it on a regular show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.